Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord. I'm just excited to be here. My brother Michael, he preached a really good message yesterday, and he was all in my notes. And I told Preston, look, this is what I'm talking about. That was fun. You know, that's how God moves. Amen. It's called confirmation. And God is confirming many words to us. Amen. He's confirming a lot of things to us. So I just want God to continue to move. I won't be before you very long unless the Spirit prolong. Amen. Amen. And yes, we're going to preach. Amen. So today, somebody tell your neighbor, today we're going to talk about dedication. Dedication. Come on, say dedication. Now, see, Pastor Willie said he's getting up early. He's getting in the gym. That just doesn't happen by accident. All right. Dedication is something that you have to, as the old church folks used to say, make up my mind. So they said, I made it up in my mind to serve the Lord. Amen. So really what they're saying is I've dedicated my life to God. Amen. So real quick, I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray to God that as I speak your word, that it will go forth with clarity. Dear God, that it would impact, change, and bring more people closer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. So dedicated is a form of dedication. When you have dedication, it really means you're dedicated. Dedicated means to be devoted to a task or purpose. Having single-minded loyalty or integrity. You guys catch that? When you're single-minded about some things, you cannot do everything, right? I love athletes, and the real reason we love them is because they dedicate themselves to do one thing, right? It's that sport. It's a different sport. Or even back in the day, you guys remember the day in Rome, they had gladiators. And they were dedicated, or if they weren't dedicated, they were done. Right, they were dead, right? So you had to be dedicated to getting better at your moves, right? You had to go into the field and understand, man, I'm going to go into this field, and this guy may kill me. He might have a new move. I have to be ready for it. So they trained themselves. Somebody say trained. Trained themselves to be dedicated at what they were doing. Somebody say dedicated. Another definition of dedicated is exclusively allocated to or intended for a particular service or purpose. Now, when I read these definitions, it makes me think about our relationship with God. Are we single-minded with God, or as the Bible says, are we double-minded? All right. Now, what does it mean to be double-minded? If you have two minds, that means you're double-minded. Matter of fact, if you have two minds, they call that split personalities, right? You got to be careful with some of those two-minded things. But many times what begins to happen is people say, hey, I'm going to live for God. But then they have these other thoughts. Amen. We all have thoughts. Can we be real? We all have temptations. All right. Once you get saved, it doesn't mean you're exempt from temptations. How do you believe that? And why do you say that? Because Jesus was tempted. And Jesus was the most saved you can ever get. Amen. So it's not the fact that you have temptations, it's what you do with those thoughts. So the Bible tells us to cast down every argument, every other thing that tries to exalt itself above the high word of God. Amen. So we have to be single-minded. Come on, tell your neighbor real quick. If they don't get anything today, tell them to be single-minded. Now it's kind of interesting this week. You know, it snowed, right? And Tanya, if you guys don't know, Tanya lives in North Bend. All right, so that's close. That's past Issaquah, and that's where the snow just falls. Last year somebody had to dig you out to come out your door? I'm like, please, you got to be kidding me. So anyway, This year she had, you know, I don't know why. I'm just going to say this for a side note. I don't know why jobs want to test your dedication when it snows. Right? I almost literally got fired for a snow day. And I was a good worker. I'm not going to say perfect. Hey man, I'm working towards perfection, right? But my manager, he had it out for me for some reason. I don't know why. I must have just known I was a Christian, and it was just other things. He wasn't a Christian, right? He believed in another religious type stuff, so I'm going to leave that alone. But he called me and was like, you got to get to work. And I was like, I can't get to work. I had, you know, at that time, I just had the Lexus. I live on the hill, so if you know where I'm at, it's a lot of snow usually up there. So he was like, you got to get to this job. There's no snow here. And I'm like, bro, I'm sorry. I can't come. You know, like, I'm not going to risk my life for the job. I mean, you know, to me, this job ain't worth my life. Right? So he was like, well, then you got to come in on Saturday. And, you know, we had Saturday service and stuff. I said, nah, bro, that was not in my availability. You know, when we signed that paper, what's your availability? Saturday, no availability. So he didn't like that, right? And I'm like, man, no, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I can't get to work. So he hung up mad. Well, we're going to fire you. And so, you know, and I was like, okay, well, if that's what you're going to do, I don't believe that a job is my provider anyway. I believe that God is my provider. Amen. He's my provider. But anyway, so a few minutes later, the owner of the company, because it was a smaller company, he called me and he was like, hey, what's going on? Da, 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 da. And I was like, man, he's trying to fire me. I can't get out. It's snowing. I don't know what to do. So he was like, hey, I'm going to come pick you up. So he came and picked me up, and he had snow-studded tires, a Jeep, and all that. You know, they love driving and that kind of stuff. So he looks and he's like, man, yeah, you couldn't have got out of here in your car, you know. So and then he was like, what's going on? I was like, I don't know. I don't know why this guy is so upset. Like, I told him so he gave me the liberty. He gave me liberties above the manager, you know, and I was just like, praise God, you know. But really what it showed me is in the snow, jobs want to test your dedication, but you got to be dedicated before that, okay? Because of my dedication, that the owner, he went to everybody else in the company and asked, how is Marquise as a worker? And they had nothing but good reports. So I was like, praise God, because we have to have a good rapport before men, right? But in the snow, they want to test us. So Tanya, she had to get out and dig out. I don't know. Did you have a big shovel, Tanya? A little shovel? What kind of shovel? She started with a small. So just imagine Tanya in a blizzard, right, with this little this little shovel trying to get out, trying to get to work. Why? Because they testing her dedication. And she probably said, hey, it's a lot of snow. I can't make it. Well, we need you to come. You know, I mean, like, come on, man. Just take call it. Don't say you're sick. Just say, hey, I can't make it. Right. But what happens is her dedication to that job made her even get out there to do some work. Amen. And many people went out to try to go work. And, you know, usually when it snows like that, if I don't have anything serious to do, I'm just going to stay home. Cancel everything and just stay home. School canceled, good. We're just going to relax. Let's play some video games. You know, just do something else, right? It's a snow day. But our dedication goes way beyond that. Many people were willing to go to work in the snow, but what are we willing to do in our spiritual lives? If it snowed in our spiritual lives, is it going to keep us from God? Right? And I know that's just a little, I mean, it actually won't snow in your spiritual life, right? But in the storms of your spirit, does it stop your dedication to God, or does it give you motivation? Amen? Amen. I think that it's very important that we are dedicated. As we've been playing a couple games with my son's basketball team, and the last 2 weeks we lost two big games. And, you know, I try to drill to the kids that, listen, the most important thing is you have to be dedicated to go get the ball. Our problem has been rebounds. Really, that's the main problem, is rebounding the ball. You guys know what rebounding is. That's when the ball comes off the rim. The other team is, both teams, they're fearless in getting that ball. And they were taller than our kids. So, you know, some of the kids are like, I'm like, I don't care about that. Because just because you're tall, that doesn't mean that you're the best. But you got to be dedicated to go beyond. Amen. Somebody say, be dedicated. So I'm going to actually talk about, Michael actually talked about Joseph's dedication. His sermon is actually going to be up in just a little bit after we get out of here on the YouTube. But I'm going to talk about Paul's dedication. Amen. Now, as I was praying and just sitting still, God put these passages in my spirit. And the first one we're going to go to is, can you bring it up for me? Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. And we're going to call this the first shut-in. Somebody say shut-in. You guys know what a shut-in is? I mean, some of the church people these days, they don't know what a shut-in is. That's back in the day, they used to lock the church doors and you had to stay there till midnight or sometimes all night, right? And you wasn't going home. You couldn't go home. Amen. And sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes it's people speaking. We even added praise and worship just to keep us up. You know what I mean? But we're going to talk about the first shut-in service, Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 12. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me turn this back on. It was the screen on the backside was black for a while, so that's why he couldn't see nothing. Amen. There we go. All right. Now, listen, it says, now on the first day of the week, which was the Sabbath, right? When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart to the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until, say that with me. Now, listen, I know that if I started preaching, it's 12 o'clock right now. Amen. And if I preach till midnight, some of y'all will be upset. Right? Yeah, some of y'all be like, praise the Lord, I got to go. Right? But I just want to say something real quick, because in that passage, what we don't catch is there was no Bibles at this time. Okay? Paul was getting ready to go to another city, and because of the dedication that he wanted to make sure they were ready and prepared, he said, I'm going to stay here till midnight to preach this word. All right. So I don't know about you. When you're getting ready to go on a plane or you're getting ready to do something, there is some preparation that must take place. Most of us just don't wake up and walk into the airport like with just nothing and be like, OK, I'm ready to go. Doesn't work like that. Right. So you pack your clothes. Right. You get your Uber contact. You know, hey, man, forgive me for that. But anyway, you try to get prepared. You do get everything set in place. You got to get your accommodations in place if you're going to have a hotel. You get all of that stuff prepared. And Paul is preparing them. Somebody say preparing them for when he's about to leave, because he knows that after the word is spoken, guess what? After the word is spoken, the enemy is going to go to work. Because the word that is spoken into our lives, the enemy doesn't want it to take place. He doesn't want it to grow in us. Amen. So in order to grow something, you have to cut it off. Somebody say cut it off. So God gave Paul the determination to keep on preaching even till midnight. Amen. Let's keep on going. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. So they had to light the place up because it was dark. We got that. Keep on going. And in a window sat a certain young man, and I'm just going to call him E. Is that all right? Can we call him E? All right. There was a certain man named Eutychus, is probably what his name is, but we're going to go with E, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Now, I'm just going to say this. I've seen people go to sleep while I preach. Praise the Lord. I don't take no offense to it. I understand there's different things that happen with different people. Right? But at least this young man was in the house of the Lord. Right? And not only was he in the house of the Lord, I'm pretty sure he got some things from this thing. Because I believe, and we're going to see what happens in a second. He says, he was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. Somebody say overcome. Now, we don't know what kind of job he had. Come on, man. We don't know. We just see this guy went to sleep in church. Right? And as Paul continued speaking, listen to what happened. He fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Okay, so first of all, he was, just imagine somebody in sleep or listening to the sermon, sitting in the window, probably because there was no other seats, right? Because it was full. And he fell out the window and died. Somebody say the first shut in. See if you, hey man, I could say something about that, but I'm not. Let's keep on going. Verse 10. But Paul went down, fell on him and embraced him saying, do not trouble yourself for his life is in him. All right. So God, through Paul, raised this man up. All right. And I'm pretty sure he didn't fall asleep after that. Amen. Let's go to the next verse. Hallelujah. Now, when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. All right. Verse 12. And then we're done with this passage. And they brought the young man in alive and they were not a little comforted. Amen. So they were comforted because he came back to life. But what I wanted to see and wanted to see you guys is Paul's dedication to preaching the word to these people right here. Amen. And his preaching of the word made a difference because it's preparing them for what's getting ready to happen. Now, let's be real. Paul didn't have airplanes and jets to fly. He wasn't blessed like Philip to be able to time travel. So what did Paul have to do? He had to get on ships, right? He had to sail on ships to go to different cities. Sometimes he had to walk. And many times he only got to go to the same places, maybe once or twice. So he's preparing them for what's getting ready to come. He is dedicated to teaching the people the word of God. Amen. So in the first shut-in, what also we see is that he didn't just preach till midnight. He said he came back in, ate some food, and kept preaching until daybreak. Now, I don't know what time daybreak is where they were, right? But usually daybreak, at least right now in the wintertime, it's like, what, 7 o'clock? That's when you start seeing the sun. So he preached another 7 hours. Somebody say dedication. That's deep. And I don't know if Paul just could talk like that or if the Spirit of God, I'm pretty sure the Spirit of God moved him, because you preached, I mean, we just at least said it could have been almost all day, right? 12 hours that, you know, it was a lot of time. But he had the willingness to make sure somebody caught the word. And not only the willingness, but the zeal. Everybody ain't going to preach like that. Some people are like, oh, this is all you need to know. There's 5 things. Just write these down and God bless you. I'll come see you next year. Right? Now, he was like, let's get every situation together. Amen. So Paul was dedicated. Let's go to the next passage, the next very next chapter, Acts chapter 21, 1 through 14. And this is the passage that God really put in my spirit as well. It was Paul determined to preach God's word, even if he was bound. Okay. Now, I'm just going to say this. Many times we, as believers, we have limitations on what we're going to do. Oh, I'll go preach that word as long as it looks okay. Right. As long as I'm safe. Right. Sometimes we kind of get into this place of self-preservation, thinking that's more important than doing God's will, but that's not. God's word says if we are not willing to give our lives, right, if we try to save it on our own, it's not going to work. But if we are willing to give our lives, he will save us. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and look at this. Now it came to pass that when he had departed, and once again, this is another city he's going to, and how did he get there? They set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos the following day to Rhodes and from there to Patara. So this guy, his passport, he got all them stamps on it. He's going everywhere. Keep going, Mike. Verse 2, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. Now, Phoenicia is a city out there as well. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. Now, come on, man, this guy is traveling. Some of those cities was one day, right? So he's on the go. Somebody say on the go. Dedicated to go bring the word of God because that was his job. Well, I'm not going to say job because he did tent making. But that was his calling. See, some people will ask me, hey, Marquise, what do you do? And I can say, yeah, well, I do music. I do all this. That's the paid things I do. But my calling, which I don't get paid to do, is to preach the word of God. Right? And it's not that people that do get paid for it is different. Some people, they have that luxury. Amen. But if you don't have the luxury, you should still do what God has called you to do. You should not allow it to stop you. You should not say, well, if I was getting paid like T.D. Jakes, I would preach a powerful message. No, you got to start now. Right? When we started the church, there was times where it was just my parents and my kids. And I preached like that place is full. Your preparation makes a difference in your dedication. See, you can't get prepared. I heard this quote. You don't build a roof while it's raining. You got to get prepared before the rain comes. Right? Now, some of us, we try to get in the middle. Oh, it's raining. Oh, let me go fix these things in my... It's too late. Your house will be destroyed if you try to build a roof while it is raining. If you actually watch roofers, and I haven't seen too many, but sometimes in my parents' neighborhoods, there's different people that come and build the roofs. Even if there's a hint of rain, they just leave the stuff on the roof, ready to go until it's time to actually put it down. Right? They understand the importance of not opening pretty much the top and letting water come in, because guess what? They'll be liable for that. We are liable for things in our lives when we don't get prepared. I say, even with temptation, if you don't prepare yourself before it happens, you're going to highly subject yourself to being captive. Right? We have to be prepared. Somebody say, be prepared. Anyway, let's keep on going with Paul. That was just a side note. Amen. Let's go to verse 4. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. And they told Paul through the Spirit. Listen to what these people in the Spirit told Paul. Now, this is kind of one of those things that I see. And it's like, wow. God is speaking to Paul to tell him not to go. Or speaking through these disciples, telling them not to go to Jerusalem. Now, why? Why are they saying that? Because they see trouble. Now, see, sometimes, let me give you a note, too. Sometimes other people can see trouble coming, but when God has set you on a course, you can't stop. Okay? When God has said, you go here, and then if somebody else comes, because we actually saw it in the Old Testament where a prophet was told not to eat in an area, and then the king asked him, he was like, no, I can't eat here. And then an old prophet came and said, hey, I'm a prophet too. Come and eat with me at my house, right? You guys, if you don't know this story, I'm just giving you the quick synopsis of it. And so he went with that prophet because he was the man of God, right? He went to that prophet's house, ate there, and as soon as he ate the food, the prophet prophesied that he would die as soon as he left that place, because he didn't stay tuned or stay dedicated to the word that God specifically gave him. Amen. So that's why it's very important to hear God for yourself. So that when somebody says, thus says the Lord, you don't change your course. God's word is not going to tell you two different things. It's not a division, right? We hear churches talking, if you ain't with my vision, then it's division. Listen, if you are not with God's vision, then it's division, right? I already said you got to be single-minded. So Paul was single-minded, even though these people of God told him not to go. Let's keep on reading this. That's powerful to me. Let's keep on going. Verse 5. Hey, can you put 5 through 7 up? Oh, never mind. When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. So once again, he's getting ready to go to another city. When we had taken our leave of another ship, We boarded the ship and they returned home. Somebody say home. All right. Home could be comfortable, but that ain't where God wants you to be. See, sometimes we want comfort over dedication. It's easy to eat comfort food. It's hard to be dedicated to eating vegetables. Amen. Yeah, man, I'm stepping on toes now. It's hard to eat fruit and vegetables, the things that we should be dedicated to, but it's easy to eat a Big Mac. Right? Oh, yeah, I don't eat McDonald's either. But it's easy to eat a burger. It's easy to eat some fried chicken, not baked, fried chicken. All right? Amen. But we have to be dedicated and not just comforted. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to P-Town, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. Let's keep on going. On the next day, somebody say the next day. Good God, all we see is Paul just keep on traveling. Why? Because he's dedicated to get the word of God somewhere. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven. And it says, and we stayed with him. So he's there with them. Not only is he going, he's even comforting other people. Right? Come on, Mike. And now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. That's interesting, right? When people talk about women couldn't do things, there's a whole bunch of stuff that women were doing, right? Four daughters that were prophesying. Imagine that house. Woo! That's a powerful house. I'm not even joking. That's powerful. I pray all my kids can prophesy. Amen? But just imagine all of them doing the work of God and using their gifts. Somebody say, use your gift. So you got to be dedicated. See, they were dedicated because that's the only thing that we see about those four daughters ever in the Bible. All it says is he had four daughters that prophesied. That's all that you see about them. So they were dedicated to that. Amen. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt. All right. Now we're going to do a little thing. I think I can do it with Tamron. Is that all right, Tamron? All right, so we're gonna do this real quick. This is my belt. Kids, pay attention. they paying real attention right now. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what happens. Just so we can kind of see it. He probably strapped them up. I'm not gonna lock you in this. Sorry,
you getting this on the camera, Mike Keith?
All right, so he did something like this, right? It says he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet. Now, I didn't need to do the feet because we might not get Tamron out of that after a while. And he said, thus says the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he's saying. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So they took this belt as a symbolization to show what was getting ready to come. Ready for Paul. Now, Paul could have been like, thanks, Brother Tamron. Give Tamron a hand. Now, Paul could have been like, oh, man, I'm not going there. Right? Right? Some of us would have been like, hey, God, I think we got another. Hey, God, I think we need to make a U-turn. God, did you really say? What begins to happen is we question what God says because this man is telling us that something is getting ready to happen. But let's keep on going. Now, when he heard these things, both we and those from the place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. So now you got a prophet that prophesies and says you're going to be bound. And then the other people are begging him, Paul, don't go. We need you, Paul. I mean, they could probably quote scriptures. What are we going to do? You told us that you're a father to us. There's not many fathers, right? We need you, Brother Paul, but Paul says this. Verse 13 and 14, and then we're done. Then Paul answered, what do you mean? Somebody say, what do you mean? What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready See, this is dedication. You can't be ready if you're not dedicated. He says, for I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So when he would not be persuaded, somebody say persuaded. See, check this out. You have to already be single-minded, all right, because there is going to be people that come to persuade, even people in the faith. Have you heard people, when you start some things, they be like, man, I don't know if that's really what God told you to do. You're not seeing the success that everybody else. Why? Listen, when God tells you to do something, you keep doing it. Michael said it yesterday, do what you know that God has told you to do. Right? And as you do that, your dedication speaks volumes. See, the person that said, oh, it ain't going to take all that. You know, they're dealing with issues with their own dedication. But when you're dedicated, see, what begins to happen is your dedication, it leads and it brings a threat to them because there's some things God told them to do and they're not willing to do it because they don't see the benefit. And your benefits may not be here, but we're storing up for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. It says, so when he would not be persuaded, we see saying the will of the Lord be done. Now, I caught this and I've read this before and I actually put this on the audio Bible because I wanted to just listen to it another way. And when I get this in my spirit, Paul says it does not matter what's getting ready to come because I am willing to continue to preach the word of God. He didn't allow the shackles that were coming to stop him. Many of us, we allow little things to stop us, right? Oh, you know, is there going to be people watching me? What if I have to go by myself? If God has called you to do something, you should do it. Be dedicated. Amen. Last thing we're going to say is fear cannot stop us when we realize God is with us. I don't know if anybody caught that. Fear cannot stop us when we realize God is with us. I speak the scripture that deals with fear every day. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power. Somebody say power, love, and a sound mind. If you have fear in your life, you have to recognize that you have power, love, and a sound mind. Because really what fear is doing is trying to get your mind out of being sound. Right. And make it pretty much an unsound mind, which is not a good mind. Right? That's what fear does. Have you ever been scared of something? And you see how you start thinking, Right. I don't know if I told you guys how I broke my arm one time riding my bike. I ran into a house and, Michael made a little jab at me one time. They told me there was a rat in this little passage that we and I didn't like rats. So I got on that bike, rode as fast as I can. The chain broke. The brakes broke. So I ran into this house across the street with my arm. I had a helmet on, thank God. And it was funny. I knocked the people's pictures down in their house. They come out and like, hey, what? Are you okay? I'm like, oh, man, I broke my arm. But that was because fear. Right? Fear will make you run faster than you ever ran before. People think I'm playing. You guys know who Deion Sanders is? Football player, one of my favorite football players. People don't realize that he got his speed from running through a graveyard every night because it was a shortcut to get to his house. And because of fear, he was like, I'm getting out of this place. Right? So he could have went the long way, but he started running through it and he started taking off. That's what fear will do to you. Made him one of the fastest people ever to play the football game. Because he ran through a graveyard. Crazy, right? The crazy things that happen. But fear can't stop us. We cannot allow fear. Somebody say allow. Because fear is allowed in your life by you. Okay? God doesn't fear. God's not up in heaven like, oh, I hope the devil, I'm scared of the devil. No, he's in control. That's what a sound mind does. You're in control. You have power. I have the power because I'm connected with God. But we cannot allow fear to stop us when we realize that God is with us. The last passage I have is Romans 8, 14 through 16. Romans 8, 14 through 16. And I'll just read it. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, you know, we got a big debate on who's the children of God. It's those that are born of the Spirit. Okay. I don't get into all that. Oh, you were. That's not what we're here for. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. So when you have the Spirit, you don't have to have the spirit of fear. I'm going to tell a quick story real quick. There was a CD I was listening to that just came out this week. A Christian rapper, his name is Jared Sanders. He has a little clip on in between one of the songs. And on this clip, it's talking about two dogs. There was a German Shepherd, a big dog, a German Shepherd, and a little poodle. And the German Shepherd tells the poodle, hey, I bet you can't open this door, right? And the poodle was like, you know, the German Shepherd is like, yeah, I'm the big dog and you're not. And you, yeah, I can do this. So the German Shepherd jumps up on the door and starts attacking the doorknob with his mouth. And you know how dogs are, especially when they get aggressive. So he's trying to unlock this door. And after they said that after 2 minutes, the German Shepherd got the door open. Right. And the German Shepherd closed the door and he said, poodle, now it's your turn. Bet you can't do it. And then the poodle gets up there. He does a quick two barks and scratches on the door. And the owner comes up and opens the door. Right. So he gets in quicker. And what the pastor began to say is when you know God, you don't have to do all that work to open the doors. Right. You don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the baddest. But it's your connection and knowing God. Amen. So because we're connected, it should show our dedication. It should show that we have dedicated our lives to God despite what may come. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. God, I pray to God that your word would be the lamp to our feet, the light to our path, dear God, so that we will walk in everything you've called us to walk in. God, I pray to God that you would allow us to be dedicated to you on another level as we go throughout this week, as we go throughout life. Allow us to press into you, dear God, and be obedient to what you've called us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, bless us as we leave this place, but never your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. If you are impacted by that, go ahead and slip up your hand. Praise God. God is good. I'm thankful that he allowed me to share that word. Is there any announcements that we got coming up? Also, some of the things that I want to do with the van.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.